All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our December 10th meeting of the San Francisco County Transportation Authority Board. I'm Raphael Mandelman. I serve as chair of this board. Our vice chair is Myrna Melgar. I want to thank James Kawana from SFGov TV for your help today, as well as our clerk, Amy Cy Young. Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Commissioner Chan? Chan absent. Commissioner Dorsey? Dorsey present. Commissioner Engardio? Engardio absent. Chair Mandelman?
Present.
Mandelman present. Vice Chair Melgar? Melgar absent. Commissioner Peskin?
Present.
Peskin present. Commissioner Preston? Preston present. Commissioner Ronan? Ronan present. Commissioner Safai? Safai absent. Commissioner Walton? Walton present. Chair, we have quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I think you have a public comment announcement to share.
For members of the public interested in participating in this meeting, we welcome your attendance here in person in the Legislative Chamber, Room 250 in City Hall, or you may watch cable channel 26 or 99, depending on your provider, or stream the meeting live at sfgovtv.org. For those wishing to make public comment remotely, the best way to do so is by dialing 415-655-0001, and when prompted, entering access code 2662-558-0813, and then press pound and pound again. You will not be able to listen to the meeting. You will be able to listen to the meeting in real time. When public comment is called for the item you wish to speak on, press star 3 to be added to the queue to speak. Do not press star 3 again, or you will be removed from the queue. When the system says your line is unmuted, the live operator will advise you that you are allowed 2 minutes to speak. When your 2 minutes are up, we will move on to the next caller. Calls will be taken in the order in which they are received. Best practices are to speak slowly, clearly, and turn down the volume of any televisions or radios around you. Public comment for the items on this agenda will be taken first from members of the public in attendance in the legislative chamber, and then afterwards from the remote speaker's queue on the telephone line. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I have received a request from Commissioner Safai to be excused from the portion of this meeting that he is going to miss, which we hope will be just the first half hour. I'm gonna grant that request to those of you who are here and allowed us to meet quorum. Thank you for being here on time. And then also, I do want to, for this meeting, invoke Rule 3.26 from our Rules of Order to limit total public comment per item to 30 minutes for today's meeting. It's my intention to give each speaker 2 minutes to speak on any item unless I indicate otherwise when we call for public comment on that item. Madam Clerk, will you please call our next item?
Item 2, approve the minutes of the November 19th, 2024 meeting. This is an action item.
Okay. I don't see comments or questions from colleagues, so let's open item 2 to public comment. If there's anyone in the chamber who'd like to talk to us about our minutes from November 19th, please come forward. And I don't see anybody, so let's see if we have any remote public comment on item 2.
Good morning, Chair. Checking for public comment on item 2. There is no public comment.
All right. Public comment on item 2 is closed. Is there a motion to approve item 2? The minutes moved by Dorsey, seconded by Walton. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Commissioner Chan?
Aye.
Chan, aye. Commissioner Dorsey?
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Commissioner Engardio? Engardio absent. Chair Mandelman?
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Vice Chair Melgar? Melgar absent. Commissioner Engardio has just entered. Okay. Commissioner Peskin?
Aye.
Peskin, aye. Commissioner Preston?
Aye.
Preston, aye. Commissioner Ronan?
Aye.
Ronan, aye. Commissioner Walton?
Aye.
Walton, aye. Commissioner Engardio?
Aye.
Engardio, aye. Chair, there are 7 ayes. The motion is passed.
Great. Please call our next item.
Item 3, Community Advisory Committee Report. This is an information item.
And I think we have CAC Chair Kat Siegel here with us remotely.
Yes. Hi. Good morning, commissioners. At our November meeting, the CAC voted unanimously in support of the 6 Prop L, Prop AA, and TNC tax allocations that you'll consider today. With a lot of discussion on the AV resource portal, several members suggested building the site cooperatively with other cities and expressed concern about the project cost and accurate data reporting by the AB companies. On the sideshow deterrence project, members requested more information about the effectiveness of the bumps and wanted to know how other areas of the city struggling with similar street safety issues could receive similar traffic calming treatments, particularly in D9. The CAC also unanimously approved the Portal Downtown Rail Extension MOU and the related $9 million Prop L fund allocation and Prop K grant amendments. We also received a presentation with an update about Better Market Street, which was requested by one of our members, as well as the autonomous vehicle update presentation that you all received in November. This was a high interest item for the CAC with a lot of questions and concerns from members, including about jobs lost by taxi and traditional TNC drivers, regulations on AV batteries, the inability to cite AVs for moving violations, lack of licensing requirements for remote drivers, and the less rigorous regulations on the accessibility of AVs compared to traditional TNCs. That's all I have for you this morning. Thanks so much, and I can answer any questions.
Thank you for your report. I don't see any questions. Let's open item 3 to public comment. If there's anybody in the chamber who wants to talk to us about our CAC committee report, come on up. And I don't see anyone, so let's see if we have any remote public comment on item 3.
Chair, there is no public comment for this item.
All right. Public comment on item 3 is closed. Thank you again, Chair Siegel. And Madam Clerk, please call items 4 through 6 our consent agenda.
Items 4 through 6 comprise the consent agenda. Staff is not planning to present on these items, but are available for questions.
Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Moved by Melgar, seconded by Ronan. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
On the motion to approve the consent agenda, Commissioner Chan?
Aye.
Chan, aye. Commissioner Dorsey?
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Commissioner Ingordial? Ingordial, aye. Chair Mandelman?
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Vice Chair Melgar?
Aye.
Melgar, aye. Commissioner Peskin?
Aye.
Peskin, aye. Commissioner Preston?
Aye.
Preston, aye. Commissioner Ronan?
Aye.
Ronan, aye. Commissioner Walton?
Aye.
Walton, aye. Chair, there are 9 ayes. The motion is passed.
Okay, thank you. Please call our next item.
Item 7, allocate $3,300,000 and appropriate $350,000 in Prop L funds with conditions. Allocate $672,000 in Prop AA funds and allocate $4,929,000 in traffic congestion mitigation tax funds with conditions for 6 requests. This is an action item.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We have 3 presenters today on this item. Mike Pickford, David Long, and John Paul Velez presenting 6 requests, the last of which is for an autonomous vehicle resource portal, which was discussed at the November board meeting during the AV update item. We also do have joining us remotely the Fire Department's Deputy Chief of Operations, Darius Luttrup. And I want to thank him for being here to respond to any questions commissioners may have about the department's experience with Waymo. And I do want to thank Commissioner Walton for asking about that at last month's meeting. And take it away, Mr. Pickford.
Good morning. And SFGov TV, you should be able to see my slides. So the first request we have today is from Caltrain for $2.6 million to purchase new and repair existing track maintenance equipment. Keeping track in a state of good repair improves reliability, safety, and resilience of the Caltrain system. The exact equipment is still to be determined, but may include new inspector trucks, different kinds of trucks, and repair of existing rail cars that are used to maintain the tracks. This project is expected to be open for use by summer 2027. As a reminder, Prop L funds help offset the City and County of San Francisco's local match contribution to Caltrain's capital budget. The next request is from SFMTA for $700,000 for traffic calming and sideshow deterrence measures in District 11 from the Transportation Authority's Neighborhood Transportation Program. The project will implement various traffic calming measures, including speed humps at approximately 27 locations. These features will help slow down traffic on residential streets, promoting safer conditions for pedestrians, families, and community members. To combat illegal exhibition driving activities, the project includes deterrence measures like centerline and corner hardening with rubber speed humps, like you see on the slide, delineator posts, bots dots at approximately 10 locations. These design elements are specifically aimed at discouraging sideshow activities, making streets less attractive for dangerous driving behaviors. And this is a map of preliminary locations that SFMTA has worked with District 11 to identify. Next is a Public Works request for $672,000 in Prop AA vehicle registration fee funds for construction of the Innis Avenue Sidewalk Improvements Project. This project will improve pedestrian safety and accessibility along Innis Avenue between Aurelius Walker and Donahue Streets by constructing 450 feet of new sidewalk where there's currently no sidewalk at all, as well as six new accessible curb ramps and a 400-foot rock slide catchment fence to protect pedestrians from potential hazards as there's a steep slope adjacent to the location. The Transportation Authority previously funded the design phase of this project, and SF Public Works expects the project to be open for use by March 2026. Next, SFMTA is requesting $4.9 million for the next phase of the Vision Zero Quick Build program. This program aims to expedite the implementation of critical safety improvements for pedestrians, cyclists, and drivers, and San Francisco's Vision Zero goal of eliminating traffic fatalities and serious injuries by delivering fast, impactful safety interventions across the city. Quick build projects are comprised of reversible or adjustable traffic controls, such as roadway and curb paint, signs, signal timing updates, traffic lane configurations, and parking and loading adjustments. This request would implement safety improvements on 8 corridors and programmatic spot improvements at locations on the high injury network. Here you can see the 8 corridors for quick build projects this funding would cover. Details about anticipated improvements at each of these locations are included in the packet, and all improvements are expected to be complete by March 2027. Next up, I will turn the presentation over to my colleague, David Long.
Thank you, Mike, and good morning, commissioners. This Prop L request is for $250,000 for a study of the West Side Network. The West Side Network study is a collaborative effort between the SFCTA, SF Planning, and the SFMTA to assess the current and future performance of the transportation network on the west side of San Francisco. The study will evaluate all modes of transportation and consider planned projects, offering a comprehensive understanding of how the network is expected to function as the city grows. By analyzing transportation trends and projecting future performance in this way, the study is an important input to San Francisco's strategic framework and transportation plan, also known as the SFTP Plus. So both analysis and outreach will be coordinated across this West Side study and the SFTP Plus. A final report is expected before the board around winter 2025. Thank you.
And the final request is also from the Transportation Authority for the Autonomous Vehicle Resource Portal. I'll turn it over to my colleague, Jean-Paul Velez, who is presenting remotely to go over this request.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning, commissioners. Jean-Paul Velez here, cuisine on technology policy for the TA. The Resource Portal is a shared project between the Transportation Authority and the SFMTA. The funding request is for $100,000. The total project cost is for $128,000, so we will be providing so much funds to complete the budget. Our goal is to develop a tool for staff at both agencies and the public at large for processing and accessing key information about autonomous vehicle operations in San Francisco and more broadly. The portal will have various models. One will be a dashboard for data sharing. The data that is reported by operators to regulators, like the total miles traveled by each operator, the total trips completed, crashes and disengagements, among others. Second module will provide information describing current and historical permits issued to AV companies operating in California. A third module will focus on existing regulations There are various layers of regulations at the state level, and it's challenging to understand the full extent of the regulatory framework for AVs, particularly the CPUC. So we aim to create a synthesis that pulls all regulations into a single place for everyone to consult and have kind of full awareness. And the final model will showcase independent high quality research on AVs that is of high relevance to San Francisco. We believe that the AV resource portal will help increase transparency about AV operations and the regulatory frameworks covering them. And this, we think, is crucial for better aligning the further development of the AV industry in San Francisco and more broadly, I guess, in San Francisco with our own transparency.
Okay. Is that? I think that's it.
John Paul, it looks like you might be muted.
Okay. Yes, that's it. Yeah, I finished my presentation. Sorry.
All right.
That wasn't clear.
Thank you, John Paul.
Thank you.
All right, Commissioner Walton.
Thank you, Chair Mendham, and thank you all so much for the presentations. I do remember we had an update about how Waymo was performing on our streets, and I know there was talk about how things were positive. And there was some information reported around how the fire department now felt about Waymo, and I wanted to make sure that we heard directly from the fire department around that update. So I know we have Chief Lethrop here, but I do just want to know if AVs have been infringing on fire service response or emergency response in general.
Chief Lethrop, are you here?
I am here. Thank you, Chair Mendelman, Vice Chair Melgar, and thanks for the question, Commissioner Walton. Deputy Chief Darius Lethrop here for Chief Tong. Sorry that I missed the initial presentation, but to characterize our current relationship with Waymo and the other autonomous vehicles operating in the streets of San Francisco, I would say it's still a functioning relationship. As far as interference, we are still seeing episodes of incursion into or direct blocking in fire response, not frequent. The incidence has definitely been reduced, and Waymo has agreed to meet and to provide explanation for the lack of response to what we're calling avoid the area messaging. This is what we have set up, as well as the police department set up, to help the companies be better partners, to not infringe on motorcades or in fire response. So we're still looking for answers to that particular problem, Commissioner Walton, but otherwise relationship is moving forward.
Thank you, Chief Lethrop. And what's the consequence for them being non-responsive?
So as my partners at the CTA, MTA, PD, and with the legislators have posited all along, there's very little that we can do except for raise the question and seek commitment from the companies. I think that the MTA, CTA's choice to kind of highlight information with a dashboard is a strong position to take, but we just maintain close contact. I spoke with Waymo this morning and reiterated my desire to make sure that these meetings go forward and that we continue to have a dialogue.
No, thank you so much, Chief. And I'll just say, for lack of a better term, I think it's just disheartening that our streets are regulated by outside leaders and we have no say on what happens on our streets and no say about the safety of our residents. This is not just about whether or not someone agrees with autonomous vehicles being on our streets, but we should have some say in our local jurisdictions about how to regulate. And so it's disheartening that that's not the case, but I appreciate you, Chief Lathrop, and thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Commissioner.
It's my pleasure, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner Walton, and Chief Lathrop, and Commissioner Peskin.
During my briefing at the, this is with regard to a couple of the items.
And anything you want to bring up.
Okay, so during my briefing with SFCTA staff, I raised questions about two of the items on the TNC funding request that have not been to this moment satisfactorily answered. Pedestrian safety improvements in the amount of $410,000 on Jefferson Street, where we just spent $26 million on pedestrian improvements. So I don't understand why, and I have not gotten a good answer. And a road diet on the Embarcadero between Bay and Chestnut, where we recently, with work that my office and the MTA did, put in bike lanes. So I'm curious, and I still haven't gotten an answer. So for I would like to remove that $744 from the package until we get, or my successor gets answers to those questions.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Peskin. On the AV, I want to thank Commissioner Peskin and our TA staff in particular and MTA for working on this. And Commissioner Walton, I share your frustration that we aren't really getting the regulatory intervention from other levels that we would have wanted, and our own emergency response folks are having to deal with these challenges. I do think it is heartening that there has been an improvement of the relationship. It does seem like Waymo is approaching its relationship with the city differently from Cruz's approach, and we would love to see more of that. I don't think any of us want to see, well, I'm not going to speak for others. I personally enjoy a ride in a Waymo and don't want to see this industry killed. I want them to thrive and succeed and be and do well, but I also want us to be able to make sure that when, you know, buildings are burning and people have emergency needs, that the response is able to get there as quickly as possible. And that seems like a really super basic function of local government. And if we are not ourselves going to be allowed the tools to address that, then we need help from higher levels, and we certainly need the cooperation of these businesses. And grateful that we're seeing more of it. And again, would love to see even more. And then I will say, I had the same experience that Commissioner Peskin did with seeing items appearing under the quick builds that I didn't think that I had been briefed on and seemed potentially like they could be impactful and things that the district supervisor ought to know about. And, you know, ultimately I was able to figure out what those items were. And obviously the situation on Bosworth is horrible, and there was a fatality there. And in particular, that little stretch leading onto Lyle is terrible. So I want to commend the MTA for wanting to do something about that, and I am supportive of it, but it would be great to hear about this stuff before my Friday briefing for a Tuesday vote. So not sure whether that's more of a TA thing or an MTA thing, but it seems like it nailed at least two supervisors or commissioners here, and that might be a thing to just think about process-wise going forward. Let's open this item to public comment. If there's anybody in the chamber who would like to speak to us about item 7, please come forward. Okay, don't see anybody. Let's see if we have any remote public comment on item 7.
There is no remote public comment for this item.
All right, public comment on item 7 is closed. And so I think we need to sever out the Embarcadero and Jefferson Street investments from the $4,929,000 of quick build implementation. And do we need to do that by a motion?
You can sever it just on your own prerogative as chair under Rule 3.13.
Why, it's great to have lawyers around who know what they're doing. All right, so I'm going to sever that out. And is there a motion to approve the remainder of item 7, moved by Peskin, seconded by Melgar? Madam Clerk, please call the roll on that item.
On the motion to approve everything else besides the Vision Zero Quick Build Implementation Project for item 7, Member Chan?
Aye.
Well, that's not exactly.
Sorry.
Yes.
Let me start over.
It's to approve everything but the Embarcadero and Jefferson Street investments under the quick build.
Just to clarify that.
Okay, I will just do the apologies, everyone. Commissioner Chan?
Well, did you want to clarify?
Just yes. To be clear here, we're voting here right now to approve the remainder of the quick build projects with the exception of the two mentioned. Just to be clear.
Correct.
Okay. Commissioner Chan? Chan, aye. Commissioner Dorsey?
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Commissioner Ingardio? Ingardio, aye. Chair Mandelman?
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Vice Chair Melgar? Melgar, aye. Commissioner Peskin?
Aye.
Peskin, aye. Commissioner Preston? Aye. Preston, aye. Commissioner Ronan?
Aye.
Ronan, aye. Commissioner Walton?
Aye.
Walton, aye. There are 9 ayes. The motion has approved.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And presumably MTA and CTA staff will work with the District 3 office to figure out what to do about those other items. Okay. Madam Clerk, please call our next item.
Okay.
Oh, or maybe not. Looks like there's some chatting happening. Do you want me to do something with the... We can come back to item 7 if we need to do more to it.
The motion that we just voted on, please correct me if I'm wrong, but the motion we voted on was to approve all of the items that are on item 7 with the exception of the two projects within the
quick build.
So that would be all of the, so we're absolutely clear here, this would be all of the projects that were discussed.
Yes, everything.
In item 7.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're good. All right. Madam Clerk, please call item 8.
Thank you. Item 8, authorize the Executive Director to execute a Memorandum of Understanding with the Transbay Joint Powers Authority, the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, the Peninsula Corridor Joint Powers Board, the California High Speed Rail Authority, and the City and County of San Francisco to support implementation of the Portal Project, also known as the Downtown Rail Extension. Allocate $9 million in Prop L funds with conditions to the TJPA for the Portal Project Engineering Phase Activities and amend the Prop K grants for the DTX Tunnel Engineering Options Study and DTX Project Development Activities under Notice to Proceed Number 2B to allow TJPA to use the combined remaining balance of $921,395 for the Portal Project Engineering Phase Activities. This is an action item.
All right. And we have here with us today Jesse Kaler, our rail program manager, to present the item. Before Jesse starts, I want to thank him for his efforts to get us to this milestone. Jesse, you've played an instrumental role in helping TJPA and its partners complete the accelerated work plan that we requested in 2021. And that has resulted, just to remind folks, in a successful application for $3.4 billion from the Federal Transportation Administration, granted this past spring. Very good news. This work has also included a governance blueprint that culminates in the successor MOU and Prop L request to support the collaborative effort that we have before us today. So, Jesse Kaler, tell us what you got to tell us.
Thank you, Chair Mandelman. SFGov TV, you should be able to see our slides for this item. Good morning, Commissioners. Jesse Kaler, Rail Program Manager with the Transportation Authority. As the Chair indicated, I'm here this morning with a three-part item pertaining to the Portal Project, which is also known as the Downtown Rail Extension, and which is led by the Transbay Joint Powers Authority. We are joined this morning by TJPA staff Alfonso Rodriguez, who serves as the Project Director for the Portal.
And thank you for that acknowledgement. Sorry, Alfonso.
Just as a reminder for the public particularly, the Portal Project will construct a new subway to extend Caltrain from its current terminus at the 4th and King Station to the Salesforce Transit Center in the heart of downtown San Francisco. The portal will also serve as the northernmost segment of the future California high-speed rail system between San Francisco and Los Angeles. The project will unlock connectivity between more than a dozen transit operators, knitting together the Bay Area and ultimately the state. The project has been a long-standing priority for San Francisco and the region, and in recent years has benefited from renewed multi-agency partnership to advance the project and to put it forward for a major federal investment from the Federal Transit Administration's Capital Investment Grant Program. Subject to ongoing progress in that FTA process and the completion of the full funding plan, the earliest target date for revenue service on the project is fall of 2034. As the chair noted, the TJPA has been working together with several partner agencies for the project, including ourselves, the two operators, the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, and the city and county. In 2020, these six partner agencies entered into the San Francisco Peninsula Rail Program Memorandum of Understanding, which defined a work program and structure to collaboratively advance the project. The 2020 MOU implemented most of the recommendations from the 2019 report of the peer review panel commissioned by this board. The purpose of the 2020 MOU was to prepare the project for procurement and to advance the project for a major grant from the FTA Capital Investment Grant. Chair Mandelman, in his role as vice chair of TJPA, requested that the project team accelerate the project in its process to seek federal funding. And by the time of the MOU's expiration in May of this year, the TJPA had secured the FTA's establishment of the capital investment grant amount of $3.4 billion in concert with the FTA advancing the project into the FTA engineering phase of that process. Under that 2020 MOU, the Transportation Authority and the MTC were charged with making recommendations regarding the multi-agency governance approach to succeed the 2020 MOU and serve the project during its implementation. This work has culminated this year in the preparation of the Portal Project Implementation MOU, which will be among the same six agencies, and reflects the coordination and engagement processes through which those agencies will continue to collaborate, including at the management level, the executive level, and the board. Our recommendation this morning is that the board authorize entering into this agreement. The other five agencies will be similarly considering approval of the MOU between now and January, and members of this board should expect to see this agreement again at one or more other policy bodies. This includes consideration by the Board of Supervisors planned for December 17th, following the board's Land Use and Transportation Committee having advanced the agreement with recommendation at its meeting yesterday. The MTC Programming and Allocations Committee will consider the agreement tomorrow, the Caltrain Board and TJPA Board in January. When TJPA made its comprehensive submittal to the FTA last year, the project's cost was estimated at $7.5 billion, or about $8.25 billion when accounting for the already constructed train box in the basement of the Transit Center. Since that time, there have been adjustments both up and down in cost and funding. In July of this year, the TJPA board adjusted the project's schedule by approximately 2 years. Fortunately, in parallel, the project team was able to identify cost savings sufficient to offset the escalation associated with this new schedule. The project is currently approximately 70% funded, with a remaining funding gap on the order of $2.5 billion. The single biggest remaining component of the funding plan is the state's planned investment. The project's advocacy strategy for the coming year will be particularly focused on the need to reauthorize California's cap and trade program, which directly funds the state's major transit capital investments. In parallel with our work to prepare the new MOU, the TJPA has developed a 3-year scope of work for continuing to progress the project and to fulfill the requirements of the current FTA engineering phase of development, which must be advanced before the full funding grant agreement with the FTA can be fully secured. Excluding the cost of potential right-of-way activities over this period, the 3-year scope of work has an estimated cost of approximately $200 million, which TJPA plans to fund with a combination of known local, regional, state, and federal sources. Within this program, TJPA has requested $9 million in Prop L sales tax funds to support the first year of activity within this 3-year program. This $9 million is consistent with the adopted 5-year program for the DTX category and is the first increment of Prop L to be directed to the project out of a total $300 million identified in the Prop L strategic plan. In addition to the Prop L funds, TJPA has requested amendments to two past Prop K grants, both of which were completed under budget, to allow remaining funds to also support the same scope of work. In closing, our three-part recommendation is on the screen before you and encompasses, first, the approval of the new six-party MOU, second, the allocation of $9 million in Prop L funds, and finally, the amendment of the two previous Prop K grants in order to direct about $900,000 in cost savings to the same scope of work. That concludes my presentation. We are happy to address the board's questions.
Thank you, Jesse Kaler. Commissioner Dorsey.
Thank you, Chair Mandelman. I just wanted to express my gratitude to everybody, including Chair Mandelman, for his work on this through his role on the TGPA. And I'd like to make a motion to approve this.
And I will second that after we've, and we'll vote on that after we've taken public comment. But thank you. Also just want to acknowledge again all the folks who have been working so hard on this quest for such a long time. Alfonso, Adam, and others at the TJPA, our own TA staff, the folks at Caltrain, and MTC, and Tilly, just stand up. Just stand up and tell me the things I ought to be saying.
Thank you so much, Chair. High-Speed Rail Authority, City and County of San Francisco, Metropolitan Transportation Commission, Caltrain, and of course TJPA and our staff.
So it's a ungainly group to be coordinating, and I do think it's also worth, again, acknowledging the former chair of this body, for the work that he did, Commissioner Peskin's smiley face at a moment when it was not clear, that we really were set up to move forward as a regional project, and kind of insisting that conversation happen before we move on to this stage that we are in now. I guess the downer question I keep asking, but I'll ask again just to see if we've had any more insights. I don't expect that we would have, but to move this forward anytime soon, we need a significant source of state funds. And I think we think the most likely source is a renewal of cap and trade. And I think we've hoped that would happen in this past year, maybe prior years. That was maybe overly optimistic. I know we're again hoping that 2025 will be the year, but do we have any further indications of whether we think the governor and the legislature are going to take this up in 25?
Thank you so much for the question, Chairman Edelman. That is correct. There's not a lot of sources that could provide about the $1 billion that we do hope to receive at the state level for this project, which is in line with other mega projects, by the way, such as LA Metro and Santa Clara VTA.
BART. And that's a good thing that we're not alone in a way.
We're not alone. It's just that the cap and trade program is now at capacity about 6 years before its expiration. So the hope is that the administration, that is the Newsom administration and the legislature, will take it up next year together with all of us to renew cap and trade earlier, 6 years early. But it's really not as early as you would think. It does take some time to, of course, get to consensus on something as large as cap and trade extension. But the legislature and the governor had done that twice before, so we do hope that this time the opportunity will result in a larger, even potentially more than 10-year extension. There's now robust revenues coming in from that source, so we're hopeful.
And the risk to us is that $3.4 billion becomes less and less valuable each year that goes by, because the gap grows by $100 to $200 million a year.
Right. The goal is to secure that in the 27-ish timeframe, so we need to provide our local match, which the state contribution would help us to do.
All right. Thank you, Director Chang. Thank you, Jesse Kaler. Let's open this item to public comment. If there's anyone in the chamber who would like to come forward and talk to us about item 8, please do. If there's anyone who'd like to address us remotely, let's see if we have any remote public comment.
There is no remote public comment for item 8.
All right. Public comment on item 8 is closed. I believe Commissioner Dorsey has moved approval. I have seconded it. And I think we can take that motion, same house, same call, without objection. The motion passes. And Madam Clerk, please call our next item.
Item 9, award a construction contract to the lowest responsible and responsive bidder, Thomas Builders Corporation, in an amount not to exceed $8,965,637, with conditions: authorize an additional construction allotment of $896,564 for a total construction allotment not to exceed $9,862,201, with conditions, and authorize the executive director to execute all other related supporting and supplemental agreements for the Pier E2 parking lot and torpedo building retrofit projects. This is an action item.
All right. Carl Holmes, Deputy Director for Capital Projects, here to present. Thanks for all your work.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Mandelman, Vice Chair Melgar, Commissioners, Carl Holmes, Deputy Director, Capital Projects, SFGov. Please share the slides. We can go to the next slide. All of you have seen this sky view of our agency project delivery portfolio, but I'd like to draw your attention to the top right, which is where this project is shown, which is the Pier E2 and Torpedo Building. Next slide. So this is a better view of the two components. The Torpedo Building is shown on the right, and the Pier E2 Vista Point is shown on the left. The Torpedo Building was built in 1890. It's a historical site. It was used to build and store torpedoes or floating mines, which were used to protect the bay during times of war. And the Pier E2 is the remaining pier from the previous east span of the Bay Bridge, and it's now Vista Point, also known as Bimla Reinhardt Vista Point. Next slide. So the Torpedo Building is, this component of the project is a mitigation measure from the Southgate Project, which we opened up about a year and a half ago. During the construction of that project, we had to remove the Coast Guard Quarters 8 facility, and the resulting mitigation is to weatherproof this building, including things like a new roof and window restoration where needed, and other items shown on the slide. We can go to the next slide. Now you can see the Pier E2 access. We showed you the Pier E2 Vista Point, but this component of the project is to provide better access, also restrooms, a parking area, and other utilities. Next slide. Actually, we can go back, I'm sorry. This project is also a mitigation measure, but it's for the East Span Bay Bridge project. It's fully funded by MTC BATA, and we are delivering this component of the project on their behalf. Now, next slide. So you can see the project schedule. If the board should approve award today, we will actively start construction early 2025. With the idea of completing at the end of the calendar year, ideally in the fall. Next slide. We can't do this alone, and so we have to make sure that we continue to thank our partners, our stakeholders, and funders. I won't go through all of them, but you can see them on the screen. Next slide. For the procurement, we had an engineer's estimate of $7.4 million. We put this project out to bid in August. We received bids in October. We also had an aspirational DBE and SBE participation of 22%. Next slide. So we received two bids. One bid was considered to be deemed to be non-responsive due to the fact that they failed to have specific requirements related to historic building restoration. In terms of number of years and number of projects that were required in the bid. And so that left us with Thompson Builders to be the low responsive and responsible bid. Both bids are over engineer's estimate. However, most of the overage is part of the Pier E2 facility, which is fully funded by BATA. And we can go to the next slide. I'll share more about that. This next slide shows the cost breakdown of the Pier E2 component versus the torpedo. So you can see torpedo is 1.7 and Pier E2 is roughly $7 million. Also, you can see that we have an additional 10% contingency, which brings us to a total of just under $10 million. Next slide. So as I mentioned, that the overage, most of the overage was part of the period two project or portion of the project. We have been working very closely with MTC and BATA, and they have an action to take to their board tomorrow for what's shown on the second column on this table, the $2.5 million, which is needed to add to the project. And so we're grateful that they have a timely action scheduled for tomorrow. And with that condition, we are still comfortable and confident to bring this to this board. Next slide. So again, the actions are stated on the screen with the $8.9 million base bid, including the construction allotment of just under $900,000, as well as authorizing executive director to execute all other supporting agreements. And with that, I will turn it back to you, Chair Mandelman.
All right. Thank you, Deputy Director Holmes. I do not see comments or questions from colleagues. Let's open this item to public comment. If there's anyone in the chamber who'd like to speak to us about item 9, please come forward. I don't see anyone. Let's see if we have any remote public comment on item 9.
There is no remote public comment for this item.
All right. Public comment on item 9 is closed. Commissioner Dorsey.
I just again want to express my gratitude to everybody for their work on this, and I'd like to make a motion to approve it.
The item has been moved by Dorsey. Is there a second? Seconded by Ronan. And I think we can take this item, same house, same call, without objection. The motion passes. And Madam Clerk, please call our next item.
Item 10, accept the audit report for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2024. This is an action item.
Right. Cynthia Fong, Deputy Director for Finance and Administration. Take it away.
Good morning. Thank you for the introductions, Chair Mandelman. Before I hand it over to our lead auditors from Eide Bailly to present the audit results, I'd like to just thank the finance staff this year. With their hard work, from Lily, Javier, Christy, Ron, and KJ, and Miles, the hard work from our admin staff, Angela, Jen, and Yvette, and the hard work from our auditors, together we were able to produce this audit 1 month earlier than the previous year. So I would just wanted to make sure we recognize that. I'll hand it over to our auditor now.
Yeah, thank you, Cynthia. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, good morning, everyone. My name is Nathan Edelman with Eide Bailly, and I am the independent external auditor. And I'll just give you the 10,000-foot executive overview of the audit of the June 30, 2024 financial statements. And so, first of all, the scope of the audit. First and foremost, the number one question that we set out to ask is, do the financial statements comply with the governmental accounting rules? And we look at the debits and credits, cash, payables, revenues, make sure that those are recorded correctly. We look at federal and state compliance, mostly federal compliance for SFCTA, which I think for you means a lot of the federal grant spending for Yerba Buena Island. Some of the graphic that was up on the prior presentation was part of the compliance audit, which is super interesting for us to get out and do something beyond accounting for a change. And then through all of this, if there's what's called internal control deficiencies, if there's audit adjustments, if there's non-compliance, those things are required to be reported as part of the audit. So, you know, I stand here, and our job as auditors is to ask questions, to look at documents, and then we report back based on the results of the audits. But it's the folks at the agency, it's the folks responsible for compliance, for putting together the document for all of the accounting records. It's really the people that work at SFCTA that do all the hard work, and certainly if there's audit findings, they're accountable for that, and to the extent that they have a good or a positive audit, they certainly deserve all the recognition for that. And then I'll just highlight, you know, governments have kind of a basic set of financial statements that all local governments put together, balance sheets, income statements, and then there's bonus items, things that are considered additional, and it's for transparency. It's to produce high quality financial reports. And the city does the same thing, but SFCTA has what's called a full disclosure ACFR. Take those basic financial statements and you add additional statistical sections or some additional narratives, and then they submit that to the what's called GFOA. And so within the report, you have this certificate of excellence, which was awarded to the agency for the 2023 report, and they're submitting it for 2024 as well. So I just want to highlight that because it's in the name of transparency, it's additional work, and it produces a more complete, more useful report for folks. Most of the audit happens, after June 30, district agency closes the books and prepares for the audit. So not a whole lot to say on timing, except for we did finish the audit earlier than historically has been done. And it was really completed without too much, completed on time. So with all that, the results of the audit, there's a few pages within the report that has the firm letterhead, and that's what we're responsible for. There's an opinion on the financial statements. It says that financial statements are fairly stated in all material respects. There's no internal control deficiencies, and there was no non-compliance to identify. And there's a quick summary, one-page summary of the audit results, but I'll just point out the unmodified opinion on the financial statements is what you want. That is the expected outcome for the audit, but it is not a given outcome for the audit. And it is a lot of hard work on the folks within the agency. And I just they did a lot to support the audit and to get the audit out on time. So I just want to thank them for all of their contributions. And with that, that wraps up my presentation, so I'll turn it over to the commissioners, and if there's any questions, I'm happy to try and answer those as best I can. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edelman, and thank you, Deputy Director Fong, and thank you for thanking all of your staff who work so hard and do so well for our agency. I don't see any comments or questions, which I take to just be delight. So let's open this item to public comment. If anyone would like to talk to us about our audit report, please come forward. And I don't see anybody in the chamber, so let's see if we have any remote public comment on our audit report. Item 10.
Chair, there is no public comment for this item.
All right, public comment on item 10 is closed. Is there a motion to approve item 10? Moved by Melgar. Is there a second? Seconded by Chan. And we can take that motion. Same house, same call. Without objection, the motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you again. Madam Clerk, please call our next item.
Item 11, internal accounting report, investment report, and debt expenditure report for the 3 months ending September 30th, 2024. This is an information item.
All right, you're back.
Yes, I'm back again. Okay. Just to report out on the first quarter financial position for the Transportation Authority. Again, Cynthia Fong, Deputy Director for Finance and Administration. As of September 30th, 2024, we had total assets of $133.1 million, total liabilities of $285.2 million. And as you recall, this also includes our outstanding $193 million sales tax revenue bond that we issued back in 2017. Total revenues are $51.6 million for the first quarter, and total expenditures are $25.4 million. This is typical for the first quarter of any fiscal year. We are still within budget and around on target for revenues, and I'm definitely under for expenditures for the first quarter. Again, typical for every first quarter of a fiscal year. In terms of our investment compliance, we have approximately 50% of our funds sitting in the city treasury pool, and this is in compliance with the California Government Code in addition to the TA's investment policies. In terms of our debt compliance, as of September 30th, we have had no drawdowns from our revolving credit agreement. We had anticipated that we would be making a drawdown in the second quarter of the fiscal year. In addition, as I mentioned before, we have an outstanding sales tax revenue bond from 2017, and we have been making our
biannual payments timely. With that, I'm happy to answer and take any questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Deputy Director Fong. Don't see any comments or questions. Let's open item 11 to public comment. If there's anybody in the chamber who'd like to talk to us about item 11, please come forward. Don't see anyone. Let's see if we have remote public comment on item 11.
There is no comment for this item.
All right. Public comment on item 11 is closed. Thanks again. Madam Clerk, please call item 12.
Item 12, introduction of new items. This is an information item.
Doesn't look like we have anything. Madam Clerk, please call our next item.
Item 13, public comment.
All right. If anybody would like to speak to us as part of general public comment, please come forward. There's nobody in the chamber. Let's see if we have any remote public comment on item 13.
No remote public comment for this item.
All right. Public comment on item 13 is closed. Madam Clerk, please call our next item.
Item 14, adjournment.
We are adjourned.